Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our scripture this morning is a very familiar story. But it's a story that has had so much impact that we use the phrase every day, it seems, if you listen to the news, when we hear about people who do things that are unexpected and above and beyond. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Doug read a few seconds ago two different passages that are connected. The first one starts off with a lawyer, but not a classical lawyer in the form of like Perry Mason on the old TV series. Rather, it's a person who is steeped in the biblical law. And he asked Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, one of the humor that we have, and with talking about sometimes rabbis, is that rabbis will sometimes say, will be asked the question, why does the rabbi always answer a question with a question? And Jesus and the rabbi will say, "Why shouldn't a rabbi answer a question with a question?" And Jesus here is operating in good rabbi fashion. He, instead of giving the man a straight answer, he says, "Well, you have an idea of what's going on in the law. You tell me what the law says." And the man quotes back to Deuteronomy 6:5 and to Leviticus 19:18, which is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and also this element of loving the strength, loving the other in the world. And Jesus then says, "You have answered rightly, and do this, and you shall have eternal life." And then, but then there's like a little pop quiz of trying to have a second shot at this and getting an answer perhaps he likes a little bit better. And he then says, "Well, who is my neighbor? Who is this person that's my neighbor?" And then Jesus enters into sort of a first century version of the standard story we have of, like, for example, a priest, a rabbi, and a Methodist pastor go into a bar. And Jesus does the same kind of thing. He uses a style that would be familiar to those that were listening to it, which is he starts off with two people, and the third person is going to be the one that you would think would be the hero of the story. Now, our ears, as we hear this, we need to make sure we understand two elements of this. One is that two Levites are who walks by. Okay? Every priest is, by definition, a Levite. They're in the tribe of Levi. But every Levite is not a priest. Some Levites are like Roberta, music leaders. Some are administrators at the temple. Some are the ones who parcel out the sacrifices that come in and give them back out to the poor. So every priest is by definition a Levite, but every Levite is not a priest. But the key is two holy people, two people who have a responsibility for knowing what is right or wrong, just walk by this guy, this unnamed man. Now, then Jesus says something that to the ears of that audience in the first century would have been nothing short of scandalous. Nothing short of scandalous. He says, a Samaritan. They're looking for a scribe or a Jew who is holy or something like that. That's what they're looking for in their response. But Jesus offers them a scandalous good example. Now, it's important for us to understand who the Samaritans were. The Samaritans were a mixed group of people. Some of them were left over from the 10 tribes in the north when the kingdom split, about the 10th century B.C. And these were people that left David's tribe. David's tribe was leading the unified kingdom. So one of the first strikes against them is the fact that they've rejected the kingship of David. That's one thing about it. So they go live in the north for a while, 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south, split the kingdom splits. And the south has a running commentary on the north, which is consistently negative, over and over and over again. Then the Assyrians come out of the north. It was a tribe up in what we would now call Syria, a group of people up in called Syria. And they come down and they conquered the 10 tribes in the south. And then it was the practice of the Syrians to leave some people there, but also mix them with other tribes from other places. And that's what they did. They came down and they gave them what we would now call Samaria, and they gave them this, and they kept bringing in these other people that were not Jewish and mixed them in. They got along fairly well between about 720 and about 580 or so, about 140 years. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't as awful as it would become. But eventually, it would get to a place when the Jews came back. When the Jews came back to from Babylon to Jerusalem, they came back and decided to be more orthodox. When they came back from Babylon to Jerusalem, they returned to an orthodoxy, and the people that were Samaritans were not worshiping the way they saw things should be worshiped. They were those people. They were those people. And so tension grew and grew and grew and grew. And this was not a one-sided argument. It was had both sides were at fault. But the key is that that both groups would work to diminish the work of the other. Samaritans would come into the temple in Jerusalem and they'd intentionally desecrate it. Judas Maccabeus would go into the Samaritan capital and destroy the Samaritan temple. So there was a tit for tat going on here. Amy Jill Levine would suggest to us, she's a theologian at a Jewish theologian at Vanderbilt University, a Methodist seminary. And she would suggest to us that the nature of this story is the fact that the person that you would want the least to come and save you, the person looks up and that's who he sees coming to save him, a Samaritan. It's put in your mind the category of people that you would like the least to come help you, save you when you're in a moment of pain, and that's what's going on here. You'll notice that the lawyer, when he is talking to Jesus, Jesus says, who is the one that understands the neighborliness? And the lawyer isn't even able to say the words Samaritan. All he can do is say, the one who showed mercy. And what does Jesus say? Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Now, I would suggest for us in these troubled times that we live in, this is a message for our troubled times. This is a message of tremendous relevance in the troubled times we live. Jesus is saying that the nature of following me, of being a follower of Jesus Christ in the world, requires you to reject the norms of the world and live out this gospel of good news without regard to who the people are, who the category of people are. Now, I'm going to use a few illustrations, and I'll try to be an equal opportunity abuser here. So please give me a break. Give me a moment to get all of them out there before you are shocked by what I'm about to say. But I would say to you in today's world, there are some people that there is nothing that Donald Trump can do that would cause you to believe that there's any redeeming quality in him. Conversely, there is some other people out there who could find that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, there's nothing they could do beyond just die that would actually help anything, okay? That's the nature of what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is saying, pick the boogeyman, the one, the item, or a category of people that you can detest the most as a borderline reflexive reaction. And Jesus is saying, that's the group that is going to be the hero in this story. That's the scandal in which Jesus is offering this. It was shocking to their ears, and if we could change it around a little bit and to say, Donald Trump is walking down the highway and he saves this man, or Nancy Pelosi were walking down this highway and she saves the man, or an illegal immigrant, or a member of ISIS, or fill in the blank that works for you, because that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying there's a radical nature to this following God's guidance. Jesus is saying this is following God 101. This is not advanced. This is not second-order differential equations. This is 2 plus 2 equals love. That's what Jesus is saying here in this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his Life Together, which he wrote as he was trying to put together a seminary in northern Germany to oppose the Nazis, would suggest that part of the way we get to know who the other is by experiencing life with them, by integrating in with them, trying to understand what motivates them, what drives them. Again, we live in troubled times. We live in troubled times, and I regret to say that one of my fellow clergy from the Rocky Mountain Conference in Denver got an email note from a more orthodox, a more conservative element of Methodism, and he goes to Facebook and he brags over the fact that he deleted the note before he had a chance to read a word. I don't think I would be bragging about that. I don't think I would be bragging about that. I think I would instead offer the fact that we need to sit down and try to understand the other. For that particular one, this more progressive gentleman was saying, those who are orthodox in their belief as Methodist are so foreign, there isn't anything they could say to me. For that person, my fellow elder in the United Methodist Church, he was saying people who are orthodox are like good Samaritans, like the Samaritans were in this narrative. So what are we to do? What are we to take from this? And I would say, we sang it today. We sang it today. The very first piece we sang was this idea of focusing on walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. The second thing that Rich sang so well was this, I want Jesus to walk with me. Second Peter, the invitation there is for us to invite Jesus into our heart. Invite Jesus into our heart. Let our guards down and let ourselves be made vulnerable by the message of Jesus in the world. We invited ourselves to be vulnerable by this element of communion that we just did. We just did that. We said, I want to be vulnerable to your words. I want to be vulnerable to what it is you're offering me. And I would say to you, that's the task for each of us, is to walk out of here and take those guards down and allow us to be able to see all of God's children as some kind of redeeming element. There's an element of redemption in them. The potential is there. Try to understand who they are and where they're coming from and why they're doing what they're doing without just automatically rejecting what it is they have to say, knee-jerk reflexively done. In a few moments, we're going to offer the offertory. We did this on purpose for Lent. We want to sort of make ourselves vulnerable by this element of communion, and then we want to stand between communion and the offering by reminding ourselves that maybe we need to respond to God's word in such a way that we can offer our lives back to God in some kind of a way, whether it's time, treasures, or talent, or maybe even a changed attitude. Maybe even a changed attitude. I would say to us that this passage speaks to us in our now. It speaks to us tremendously in our now. We live in troubled times. This is a passage for us that speaks to us now in these troubled times. Jesus resorts back to ancient words. He resorts back to ancient words of Deuteronomy and of Leviticus. And by the way, he knows that the lawyer knew the right answer, because in Leviticus it says very clearly there that you are to treat the stranger in your midst, the alien in your midst, as one of your own, because there was a time when you were an alien in someone else's midst. Grace is there for us. This Lenten period is a time for us to stop and pause and reflect on what is going on. The invitation today is to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the scandalous message of Jesus Christ in the world. If this Jesus makes you comfortable, you need to keep looking at who this Jesus is and let his scandal roll over you so that you can see truly how scandalous it is. He is. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask that we understand the true nature of who Jesus is in such a way that we can see and hear the scandal that is called for. Let us be your people, and let us open our ears and open our hearts to and open our minds to the scandalous message of this Jesus Christ. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.